The Gospel of John.
In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory. The glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds,
"This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.'"
From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. This was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders sent priests and temple assistants from Jerusalem.
"Who are you?"
He came right out and said,
"I am not the Messiah."
"Well then, who are you?"
"Are you Elijah?"
"No."
"Are you the prophet we are expecting?"
"No."
"Then who are you? We need an answer for those who sent us."
"What do you have to say about yourself?"
John replied in the words of the prophet Isaiah,
"I am a voice shouting in the wilderness. Clear the way for the Lord's coming."
Then the Pharisees who had been sent asked him,
"If you aren't the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet, what right do you have to baptize?"
"I baptize with water, but right here in the crowd is someone you do not recognize. Though his ministry follows mine, I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandal."
This encounter took place in Bethany, an area east of the Jordan River where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him. After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven.
"Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you, for I have passed on to them the message you gave me. They accepted it and know that I come from you, and they believe you sent me. My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. Now, I am departing from the world. They are staying in this world, but I am coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now, protect them by the power of your name so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. I guarded them so that not one was lost, except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. Now, I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world so they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth.
Then Pilate had Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip. The soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put a purple robe on him. They mocked him and slapped him across the face.
Hail, King of the Jews!
Pilate went outside again.
I am going to bring him out to you now, but understand clearly that I find him not guilty.
Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe.
Look, here is the man.
Crucify him!
When they saw him, the leading priests and temple guards began shouting,
Crucify him!
Crucify him!
Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find him not guilty.
By our law, he ought to die because he called himself the Son of God.
When Pilate heard this, he was more frightened than ever. He took Jesus back into the headquarters.
Where are you from?
But Jesus gave no answer.
Why don't you talk to me? Don't you realize that I have the power to release you or crucify you?
You would have no power over me at all unless it were given to you from above. So the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin.
Then Pilate tried to release him, but the Jewish leader shouted,
If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar.
Anyone who declares himself a king is a rebel against Caesar.
When they said this, Pilate brought Jesus out to them again. Then Pilate sat down on the judgment seat on the platform that is called the stone pavement, in Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was now about noon on the day of preparation for the Passover.
Look, here is your king.
Away with him! Crucify him!
What? Crucify your king?
We have no king but Caesar.
Then Pilate turned Jesus over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus away. Carrying the cross by himself, he went to the place called Place of the Skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha. There, they nailed him to the cross. Two others were crucified with him, one on either side, with Jesus between them. And Pilate posted a sign on the cross that read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, so that many people could read it.
If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance.
That evening, Jesus' disciples went down to the shore to wait for him. But as darkness fell and Jesus still hadn't come back, they got into the boat and headed across the lake toward Capernaum. Soon, a gale swept down upon them, and the sea grew very rough. They had rowed 3 or 4 miles, when suddenly they saw Jesus walking on the water toward the boat. They were terrified, but he called out to them,
"Don't be afraid. I am here."
Then they were eager to let him in the boat, and immediately they arrived at their destination. Then, as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven, and the same voice I had heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast.
"Come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this."
And instantly I was in the spirit, and I saw a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. The one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstones, like jasper and carnelian, and the glow of an emerald circled his throne, like a rainbow. 24 thrones surrounded him, and 24 elders sat on them. They were all clothed in white and had gold crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and the rumble of thunder. And in front of the throne were 7 torches with burning flames. This is the sevenfold Spirit of God. In front of the throne was a shiny sea of glass, sparkling like crystal. In the center and around the throne were 4 living beings, each covered with eyes, front and back. The first of these living beings was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a human face. And the fourth was like an eagle in flight. Each of these living beings had 6 wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes inside and out. Day after day and night after night, they keep on saying,
"Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come.
Holy, 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 holy,
holy, holy,
holy, holy,
holy,
holy,
holy,
holy,
holy,
holy, holy."
Whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, and they lay their crowns before the throne.
Holy, glory,
holy, holy,
holy,
on
glory,
on power,
you
power.
Are
power.
Holy, holy, holy. You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased.